from the Eye to Eye Conference, the Expo, the Aratini Expo in Dubai. Welcome home. Welcome home, Dale Stevens. Here's my little pōhiri, kia koe, hoki mai, ki te kāinga. Welcome back home. Fabulous, you made it back. You're an MIQ, I see. I see you're an MIQ.
I'm at the Pullman Hotel looking out at the harbour, and there's a couple of yachts doing their evening sail, and I'm stuck inside.
Yeah. Well, you know, lucky you got a room in MIQ, because, you know, they have been booked out. Or is this a thing, you see, because you and your rōpū that went to Aratini, were your rooms booked out well in advance of you leaving, so that you were already booked in when you returned?
These were booked, I think, around January this year, for a six-month block to ensure that we had all the businesses and the business opportunities we wanted to promote globally able to get to Expo. So, yeah, and so I think we did a block booking. We've returned about 40% of the spots, so that they've been reallocated, which is nice. And sitting in the hotel with us, obviously in separate rooms on a separate floor, there's 30-odd Māori business men and women who travelled over with us to Aratini to promote this Indigenous Global Conference, and it's gone very well.
And we saw some of the coverage back here in Aotearoa. Yeah, it did. It looked absolutely like fantastic. You did the country proud, really, the nation proud. Congratulations. About 30 people have come back with you and your rōpū. Just before we talk about get a wrap up of the of Dubai, though, did you get a sense from them while you were there, though, of how business was back here in Aotearoa, given the situation, given the COVID-19 situation, given, you know, lack of cash flow, given, you know, having to rely on government subsidies, which has been very helpful? But do they get a sense that, you know, it is going, you know, it will be over soon, and that all will be well?
Well, to put it into context, the Te Aratini was focused on encouraging Indigenous businesses globally into the international marketplace. So by definition, that didn't really give us the opportunity to talk about the pain that businesses are suffering domestically here. I did put my pōtai for New Zealand Māori Tourism on, and I talked about the issues that we are facing as a sector here because of COVID, because, in fact, to a certain extent, that's mirrored by a number of our Indigenous whānau around the world who are trying to promote tourism in their areas. But no, I didn't allude to the fact that we've got 26,000 businesses in New Zealand have gone to the wall this year. I didn't talk about things like wage subsidies. To be fair, we had involvement with 17 other countries at this conference from around the world. Many of them, in fact, most of them, are well advanced in terms of their road back to international connectedness. And so I found it really quite interesting to see what other countries have done to get through this, how they are now actively working with businesses to get them up and running in the international marketplace. And we've got quite a bit of work to do to catch up, to be fair.
So 26,000 businesses have ceased trading. Is that as a direct result of COVID-19?
I would have to say that this year, probably 90% would be directly as a result of being unable to conduct business because of COVID.
What percentage of those are Māori?
We don't have that data yet. That's being worked through at the moment. But I would say from the work that we've done so far supporting Māori businesses, they are tending to suffer the effects of COVID at about the same rate as they have in all other elements of business. So they would be to no less or more than any other sector in the business world, but they're all suffering. New Zealand businesses aren't tooled up to carry such cash to get them through months and months of no cash coming in. So, and that's the primary cause for the problem. It just isn't the revenue coming in the door. The bills still have to be paid. And while the wage subsidies have been great for the employees, there's been very little. I know from our own business, around 15% of our bills have been covered by wage subsidy and business support. We've still got to pay the other 85% with no revenue coming in. So it's been tough.
Yes, indeed. And so you said that there were some learnings that can be had from some of our other Indigenous brothers and sisters and other businesses internationally. What can we do for our Māori businesses, some of the lessons that were learned over there that we can bring back here?
Yeah, I think it's around the biggest piece I see is around collaboration for our Māori businesses. It's often tough to get into an international marketplace, but there are real opportunities for Māori businesses to work together to make the most of market opportunities and take the business into market and share the cost and the risk of getting into that market. We see non-Māori businesses aren't as readily prepared to work together, but Māori being, you know, whānau to some extent, right across the Motu, are much happier to go, right, let's get into this together, let's share the risks, let's share the cost of the marketing, the market research, and let's take this on together. And I think that's a real opportunity, and we've seen that happening across the world, and that's something that Māori can do very well.
And then how long do you think it will be before there does seem to be, there might be a recovery? I guess we can't really tell, but what about any more subsidies that the government might need to provide, particularly around our Māori tourism as an example? I mean, they're not the only ones, but are there enough subsidies to carry on business if, even though the borders are opening, there still has to be something that, to get us to those people back into us after we've opened borders?
Yeah, there's two ways of looking at the subsidies. One is how long can they go for? And the second one is what is the ratio of subsidy to overall cost to a business? If they continue to be at around the 15 to 18%, we'll continue to see businesses go to the wall. The only way to help businesses I see is to raise that ratio, because at the moment, the revenue is not coming in. The best way to get the country back running is to get movement across the borders, obviously safe movement. We've seen these announcements today. I find it quite unbelievable that we've now got to wait another 2 months before we can have New Zealanders coming back into this country and not have to go into MIQ. The sooner we can have our people being able to travel to and from in a safe manner, double vaccinated, negative tests on arrival, negative tests on departure, the sooner we can get our business affairs up and running again, bring New Zealand back to the world.
And so the government has announced the opening of borders in the Trans-Tasman, and New Zealand has rejigged its flights. MIQ is now no longer. You can isolate at home back here. Have they got that right? And have they done it in a timely fashion?
No, they've got it wrong, and they've done it in a very poorly timed fashion. They announced today, effectively, another 2 months of MIQ. Now, I can tell you that we've got a group here in the hotel. We're double vaccinated. I was PCR tested 5 times in 14 days overseas, negative every time. The number of cases coming in through the border through MIQ is less than 1% of all returnees. While we've got literally, I think Auckland alone is something like 1,500 positive cases isolating at home. They should be where we are, because they need the help and support. We should be able to be at home now. What the government did today was announce another 2 months of this charade of perfectly safe people coming back into the country and taking up valuable isolation spots that should be held for people who need help.
The issue that we, I guess one of the issues is the Delta strain was brought in by a traveller. It didn't just, you know, morph out of nowhere here in Tamaki Makaurau. And we bore the brunt of it, the people that were resident here, particularly our South Aucklanders. That Delta was brought in by a traveller. So, I mean, yes, we can see that, you know, there aren't any positive cases coming across the border. There might be some, you know, there might be some cases or no cases coming in. Don't they have to tighten up in both ends? Shouldn't there be an and?
Breaking news, all Delta came into this country by a traveller. You know, and whichever variant, it's all coming through our borders. We can, you know, we can debate long and hard about the quality and control of our borders and how it all came in. The reality is that we've now got a world that's awash with COVID, and by far the best way to deal with it is through vaccination programs. You know, New Zealand is in a good position. We should now be open. We've got good numbers being vaccinated. We've got, in most cases, over 90% first dose. We're very close on getting our top-up vaccines available from the new year. That is the best way to control this. And one of the things that I've really noticed in the last 2 weeks is that being back in a, on a global perspective, we were in a country that didn't fear COVID. We were in a country that has very quickly learned that they've got to deal with it. So you had no one arguing about whether they'd had to wear a mask or didn't have to wear a mask. They knew for their own safety and to keep their lifestyle and the safety for all their people, you wear a mask. We had lots of rules that we had to comply with. If we're going to a public event, you had to be negative test within 72 hours. If you're a speaker like I was, every 48 hours. You just got on with it. The tests, here's the thing the government should learn from. The tests cost $20. That took 3 minutes. You got the result within 10 hours, or if you paid an extra $10, you got it within 2 hours. And over here, before we left, our test cost $235. That's per test. That's not going to encourage people to play safe and get tested every time they have a risk. They're going to say, I'm going to write it out because I can't afford $235 a time. Make the test cheap, get people encouraged to take the test for everybody's safety. But it's not happening here.
I do want to pick up on that testing point to see what you think of the National Party as opposition and holding the government to account over the COVID-19. But before we do get on to that, what were the big takeaways then? You know, what was the most magnificent thing that we came back with from the Eye to Eye Expo in Dubai?
I think we've created a whole lot of new network opportunities, not just in the Middle East, but with a range of countries that attended. And we saw a whole lot of similarity in approaches and, I guess, desire to create an indigenous network for indigenous populations around the world. We also saw some great opportunities to learn from what other countries are doing. We learnt a lot from what North American and Canadian Indians are doing. We saw from the Finnish people what the Finns are doing, Malaysia, what they're doing around encouraging tourism, and the particular, I guess, some of the mechanics about how to make it work safely. So those are some lessons that we'll be able to move across to our tourism operators here. But I guess from a purely dollars and cents perspective, I know that we're very close to closing some deals in the Middle East. Directly as a result of some of the contacts made in the last 2 weeks. And that's going to, getting these deals in place will open a pathway direct to a culture in the Middle East that has huge similarities with Māori, and they want to work with us. And so getting these first couple of deals across the line will create, a great pathway for a number of sectors, a number of products that Māori make really well. So those are huge, exciting opportunities.
Climate change, was that a topic at all, climate change and how that impacts on business or how to do business in this time of climate change?
Yeah, it was. It was a big topic of discussion, but from the perspective of why don't the rest of the people understand it? Because Indigenous people already get it, you know. So it was more of the, well, why don't you try what we're doing, because we already look after our place, our whenua, our people, our resources, and we already understand the value of retaining that for tomorrow. Not just Māori, all Indigenous populations are already there. So we've got to get the climate change problem considered from an Indigenous perspective, because that's a template that we can all follow.